Father, as we enter your presence tonight, we're so thankful for the blessings that you have blessed us with. We thank you for each and everything that you do for us, each and everything that you bless us with, Lord. We're so thankful to have a place to come to where we hear the voice of you, Lord, speaking by the Holy Ghost. We're so thankful tonight, Lord, that what we're about to hear and what we're about to receive, Father, that it is from your throne. Lord, just teach us, lead us, and guide us. Make Jesus revelation to each and every one of us. Not only we know his revelation inside of our hearts, but also to our minds, Lord. That no matter what we do, where we go, we always acknowledge you first, Lord. That you know all things, no matter the obstacles that come up against us from time to time, from day to day. That you know the answer to them, Lord, before we ever approach them. And Father, we're so thankful tonight. Now we ask you, Lord, just to pour your Spirit upon this service tonight. Lead Gary in the way that you have him to go, Father, direct him, Lord. And I thank you tonight that we put our souls aside and we listen with our spiritual ears to hear what the Spirit would say to us tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And all the people said, Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Well, I'm going to go ahead and start with the introduction here. Hi, Pat. Didn't see you come in. Okay. This message tonight, for you people that are new, come back. This one's really different, okay? I argued with God all day about preaching this. I mean, I used every excuse I know. I said, I don't like this. I don't like to preach this. And besides that, I'm not qualified. You know, I haven't studied it out. He says, you've got time. No, I don't. And this wrestling match went on all afternoon. And finally, about 4 o'clock, I went in there and got started. And I told him, I said, I'll only do it under one circumstance. I mean, just the purity of the Word alone. Without me adding anything to it, I'm not going to comment on it. We may talk about it a little bit if it's real obvious. But now, before I even go any further, everyone say after me, say, I love Gary Carpenter. And say, Gary Carpenter did not write the Bible. Hallelujah. Now, let me give you a little introduction like this. There's been so much over the years. I mean, y'all know that holiness is a Bible principle. The Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. You do know it says that, right? The problem is knowing what holiness is. I mean, some of the churches I grew up in, they start talking holiness to you, and they were talking about neckties. I went to one church where men were not allowed to wear neckties because they point towards hell. Now, that's no joke. And you weren't allowed to wear red because that's the color of the devil. So Bill, he'd have to leave tonight. You know, he's got a red shirt on. Yeah, you know. And then the more normal stuff, makeup. No, women can't wear makeup. No earrings and all that. You know. And I mean, they preach it with conviction, like it was the Word of God or something, which it's not. It's not. See. So how many knows it's good to know the truth though? There is a doctrine of holiness. And we're exactly talking about that tonight, but we're kind of like introducing it. And I'm going to take two of these. And I need a passer router. Who wants to pass these out for me? In fact, I really need two. Would you? Okay, they're not collated tonight, so you need to give one to each person, and he needs to give one to each person. There's two separate pages. I'm going to turn the recorder off until we get this done. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and start again now. The title of tonight's lesson is called Things That Disqualify for the Inheritance. Now, for you guys that are new, these people will tell you, I like to preach about faith, don't I? I like to preach about moving the mountain into the sea. I like to talk about how we're more than conquerors through Him that loves us. I like to talk about greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. And I like to talk about our inheritance. I like to talk about our inheritance, you know. And the Lord, He would not leave me alone. He says, In fact, I'll just tell you what he told me. He's been talking with me for several days. He said, the Holy Spirit has been telling me that our mission here at this Bible study is really not that different from Paul's commission from the Lord. Y'all know when the Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus, and Paul fell off his horse, and then the Lord talked to him and told him what he wanted him to do. In Acts 26:18, this was Paul's commission, and it's really kind of our commission here. Paul, he says, I want you to go and I want you to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power, and by the way, that's the word exousia, which means authority, from the authority of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Now get this, the whole purpose of all that is so that they can receive an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now that word sanctified, now here we go. You can go to 19 different churches and you'll get and ask them what sanctified means, and you'll get 19 different answers. That's what I'm talking about. Some of them will tell you, well, you're sanctified if you don't wear makeup. You're sanctified if you women wear a little bun on the back of your head, and I like, you know, have your hair up in a bun. I like the way Pastor Dave says it. He said he was raised in an ultra, ultra, ultra holiness church. He said our women wore their hair in a bun so tight that when they blinked, that thing would jump. You know, and that's all external. See, that's what the Pharisees were always excited about and interested in. Well, you got to wash your hands just the right way. You got to do this just the right way. Rules and regulations. And Jesus told him, he says, no, you're only concerned about the outside of the cup. First, cleanse the inside of the cup that the outside might be clean. Okay? But still, what the Lord told me, he told me now that our mission here is, how many of y'all would like to have an inheritance from God? Hey, when God starts giving you your inheritance, you walk in healing, you walk in peace, you live in prosperity, you live in joy, God talks with you. I mean, an inheritance is a good thing to have. So do we want to be disqualified? No. All right, now watch. Lord talking to me still, he says, Gary, you're to see to it that these people receive an inheritance from the Lord. Then the Holy Spirit said to me, and I put it in quotes, search out all that I revealed to Paul regarding the word inheritance. And here I just said, I normally teach about the positive aspects of our inheritance like this, Corinthians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Now, I could preach on this for days, you know, this one verse. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, that means able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Glory to God. I like that one, don't you, Sean? Hallelujah. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us from the kingdom into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And y'all might notice how many items in that verse. This is the same Paul that Jesus gave the assignment to up there in that first verse. Notice how many things Paul is preaching right out of his original commission from the Lord. He says, he's made us able to be partakers of the inheritance. Well, that's one of the things the Lord told him to do. I want you to be able to, for these people to get an inheritance. He says, Jesus has delivered us from the power of darkness. Part of his commission was to turn them from darkness to light, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Part of his commission was to tell the people and to turn them from the power of Satan unto God. And here he says he's translated us from the power of Satan into the kingdom of God. You see how much of it's in there? And then he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. That's part of the commission also, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. And then, you know, even the forgiveness of sins. So Paul's definitely talking about all of the things that Jesus commissioned him to do. All right? Now, tonight he has instructed me to teach that there are certain things that will absolutely disqualify you or anybody for receiving any inheritance from the Lord. Traditional religion has gone too far in emphasizing external things like makeup and jewelry in attempting to get people to live a holy life. But now get this, the same Apostle Paul who taught us all the revelation of grace, Paul wrote Galatians, Paul wrote Ephesians, Paul wrote 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Romans. He's the one that gave us the revelation of grace. Everyone say, thank God for grace.
Thank God for
it's
grace.
By grace I'm saved.
By grace.
You know, and Paul's the one that got the revelation of it first. Now, that same guy who taught us the revelation of grace is the same person who wrote that habitually doing these things will disqualify you for any inheritance from God. Now, the key word is habitual. For example, we're going to talk about fornicators. There is a difference between a fornicator and someone who has ever once fornicated. You understand what I'm saying? People make mistakes. They don't have to repeat them. You know, you fall, you confess your sin, you get back up, you go on, you don't do that anymore. But what he's talking about in everything that we're going to discuss tonight, it's people that habitually do these things. They repeat them over and over and over again. If you're in that, I didn't write this, and if you fall in one of these cat, now for some of you, this is just going to be good information. I mean, you know, it's going to be good information like for Andy to use in his preaching. You know, that I've gone straight to the Greek and straight to the original definitions of the words. So that I don't want people to come to you and say, well, Tina, them earrings is what's going to do. You know, that's what's going to take you to hell, girl. You know, then you'll go, wasn't on the list. Sorry. Earrings. Nope, it ain't on there. You know, you see what I'm saying? So in that sense, it's a good lesson. I mean, in that sense, it's good. All right. Yeah. I'm trying, Lord. All right. Now, that same Paul wrote this verse, though. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Know ye not. And I don't think much of the church does know. But it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I am not going to stand here and expound to you my ideas of what I consider a righteous lifestyle to be. I'm not going to talk to you about movies. I'm not going to talk to you about bars. I'm not going to talk to you about anything like that or what Gary thinks or doesn't think about any of that. All right? Now, here's the way I told the Lord, this is the only way I'll do it. I said, I will preach this straight from your word and only from your word. I'm not going to add to it. I'm not going to take away from it. Here it is. You guys do with it what you want. All right? But I do know what Paul said. If you're doing these things, you've left yourself wide open for the devil. It's going to be hard for you to walk in the blessings of God. All right? Now, habitually. Now, I'm going to bind up any condemning spirit right now, because there's things in all of our past. There's a lot of things on this list that I myself have committed. Thank God for the blood. We're not even talking about that. I mean, everybody in here before you got saved has committed a lot of this stuff. We all know that. You know, we know that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about if you're still doing it. Now, for some of you tonight, it might be revelation knowledge. There might be things on here you're going, I didn't even know that was wrong. Well, some things are just flat wrong. We don't live by rules and regulations, you know. But when the Apostle Paul says, if you're doing this on a regular basis, you have no inheritance from God, I'm going to have to go with the Apostle Paul on it. You know, just, I think the man knows what he's talking about, okay? Now, what I've done, there's a lot of things in there. I took all of these things that he listed one at a time. I went to the Greek. Strong's Expository Dictionary of the New Testament and Vine's Expository Dictionary of the New Testament. And then sometimes they use some words that were still unclear. So then I went to the New American Heritage Dictionary. Now all we're going to do, I'm just going to read these, tell you what it is. How you apply it, that's your business. Are you ready? The Bible definition of fornicator, someone who does this on a regular basis. The Greek word is pornos. Does that give you a clue as to what it's talking about? It's where we get pornography. It's where the word porno comes from. Okay? All right? And the literal meaning of it is unlawful, unlegal, sexual intercourse. At the end of these, you'll see where I got the definition. That's from Strong's. Idolaters. It means an image servant or an image worshiper. From Strong's dictionary. From Vines, it says, the warning is to believers against turning away from God to idolatry, whether openly or secretly, consciously or unconsciously. This one I'll comment on only from the Word. The whole book of James, Pastor James is writing a letter to his congregation, and the whole book is about many of those rich men in his congregation were beginning to commit adultery with the world system. They had left their first love for Jesus, and now they were only interested in making the money, and they didn't care who they had to step on to make it. Okay? Now that's when you're starting to become an idol worshiper. You're worshiping something other than God. In this case, mammon. Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon. Okay? All right. 3. Adulterer is a little different from fornicator. An adulterer is one who has unlawful intercourse with the spouse of another. Okay? Fornication is when you just have... That's just two single people. But adultery is when one of them's married. Okay? All right, the next one is effeminate. From Strong's dictionary, this helped a lot. It said, a catamite.
Oh, boy.
Great. Yeah, now it's clear. You know, so I went to the American Heritage Dictionary, and a catamite is one who engages in anal intercourse. Does anyone not know what that is? Okay, thank God. Look up the word anal in your dictionary. If you don't know what that is, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And especially with a boy. That's interesting. I thought that was interesting. One who engages in that activity, and especially one who engages in it with a young boy, a boy. Interesting. The next one that Paul mentioned, abusers of themselves with mankind. And from Strong's, that is a sodomite, which is a homosexual or a lesbian. From to get a little more light on it, the American Heritage Dictionary says, anal copulation of one male with another, or anal or oral copulation with a member of the opposite sex. That's the definition of what that is. Abusers of themselves with mankind. Going on. Boy, this is a shouting message, isn't it? Glory to God. You can't be doing that, Paul says. If you're engaged in doing that, You're going to have a hard time claiming and walking in your inheritance. You need to stop it. Just stop it. Okay? Bet you're glad you came. Isn't this a shouting message? Glory to God. Thieves. Now, this one wasn't so hard. A stealer. We got that? Thieves. If you're stealing, I'd highly recommend you quit it. Okay? And borrowing something from somebody without their permission, that's called stealing. Like from work. Brad Clymer, he told me that he wouldn't mind me telling. He said the other day he was at work. He works for one of the telephone companies here in town. And he was going to do some work at home. And he was going to borrow their three-hole punch and just take it home, you know, and use it. And he's going to bring it back. And he's fixing to do that. And the Lord said, no, you stop and buy your own three-hole punch. Don't be taking theirs, you know. Now, if Brad was to go ask permission and they granted it, that'd be one thing. But just to take it without permission is stealing. Stealing. Do I have to define stealing? We know stealing. Taking something that's not yours. Covetous. Eager to have more of what belongs to others. Greedy of gain. And a defrauder. You know what a defrauder means? To defraud someone means you deceived them. You wanted their stuff, so whatever you did, it deceived them, and you wound up getting their stuff. Okay? I don't think we have much of that in here, but I'm just saying. But I don't know either. I don't know. If you're doing that, stop it. Okay? All right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. They're not tell them, it's not normally like this, is it, Tammy?
Like
Drunkards. Drunkards. The literal definition, means to be intoxicated. Clear enough? And it means, that's what Vine says, Strong says, to be chronically drunk. All right, now, okay. I don't think we need to go on with that. Again, I'm not going to add or take away much. I think this is pretty self-explanatory. Revilers. Revilers. From Vines, it said, this helped a whole bunch, Gerald. It said, abusive, railing, and reviling. Abusive was the only one I had a clue what it meant, okay? So I went to the American Heritage Dictionary. Abusive means to wrongly or incorrectly use or treat someone. And I thought that's interesting the way they put it. To wrongly use them or to wrongly treat them. That's abusive. If you're abusing people, quit it. Railing. Oh, boy. To condemn or attack in bitter, harsh, or abusive language. I've had a little more problem with that one. I did that one there, I'm going to have to watch a little closer. I didn't really realize what that was. Okay? That's one thing to correct somebody or to give your opinion. They're talking about a shouting match here, you know, and where you get to the point of, well, you dirty, no good slime, you know, when you get to that, now you've gone to railing. Okay? And reviling means to denounce with abusive language. To denounce, denounce means put down with abusive language. Extortioners. This helped a whole lot. I went to Vines and it said rapacious. I went to Strong's and it said rapacious. So I had to look up rapacious in the American Heritage Dictionary. And rapacious means, number one, taking by force or plundering. That would be like, okay, taking by force or plundering. I got taken by force and plundered one time by a rich person when we were in the concrete business. We made an agreement. Most of our agreements in those days was verbal. We did everything usually on a handshake. Most of the people, 99% of the people we ever dealt with were honest, and we were honest, and that was never a problem. I did a job for this one lady. She knew what we agreed on. I knew what we agreed on, but when I got done, she said that wasn't what we agreed on. And I said, well, you know that, I mean, you know, what she wanted me to do was more than twice of what we agreed on. See? And I said, well, I can't afford to do that. I mean, I'll lose money on that. She said, well, you will do it, or I'll tie you up in court till you won't ever do another job in this town. You see what I'm saying? And I wound up having to do it because she was right. I mean, she had so much money, she could have kept me in court for years and, you know, just completely bankrupted me, you know, just from having to hire lawyers. Now, that is, she took our goods and services by force. She plundered us.
Did you rail her back?
I was afraid to. I probably would have. I'll be honest with you. You know, I probably would have, but I was afraid of her because she, see, money in itself is not evil. I mean, if you're good, your money's good. But, you know, and if you're bad, your money's bad. Her money was bad. I mean, she used it to hurt people. Okay? But anyway, rapacious, taking by force, plundering, or you could say greedy, ravenous. Notice that all of these activities, one thing you'll notice in common with them all, they hurt people. God in heaven, when the kingdom of God is manifest on earth, and or when we're in heaven, things that hurt people aren't going to be in heaven. And people that hurt people aren't going to be there either. Okay? God is love. God loves people. All of these things hurt people. All of them. Page 2. Moving right along. Additional scripture. You need a page 2, Sue? Galatians 6, this is still by Paul, the same guy. Galatians 5, verses 18 through 21. Thank God for the first part. Don't we love this one? But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Hallelujah. It's one of our favorite verses. Glory to God. But he says now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I told you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Everyone say with me, I'm not going to be one that do such things. All right. Now, a lot of these are the same words that we did on the first one. So what I've done, any additional words, which was quite a few, that weren't in that first batch, I looked them up. Uncleanness. And this is all I could find on it. And I'm not going to... See, you can take some of these words, uncleanness, and you could just use your own human mind, and you could figure out a lot of stuff. Okay? The only thing so far I've been able to find on that word, and both of them were about the same, it just means impurity, physically or morally. That's what the word means. You guys listen to the Holy Ghost yourself, okay? I don't know. If it's impure to you, if you think it's impure, I'd stay away from it, okay? That's the only thing I know. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide. He'll deal with your conscience. Hallelujah, Betty. Hallelujah, Betty. We have to do a tape. That'd be a good sermon, wouldn't I? Hallelujah, Betty. No, anyways.
Okay.
Oh, okay. But uncleanness just simply means impurity, whether it be physical or moral. Okay? Now, you're going to have to look on a sheet with somebody else. We run out. The second one is lasciviousness. Everyone say with me, lasciviousness. Isn't that a big old word? And what it means is excess. It means excess, always going to excess. It means absence of restraint, indecency, shameless conduct. Now, you could apply that in just about any area of life. I like coconut. I like those cinnamon rolls that Shirley made tonight. Do y'all like those cinnamon rolls? I could eat that whole pan. How many of y'all think that might be excess? Absence of restraint, okay, and shameful conduct, okay? All right, so lasciviousness is not just talking about in the sexual content. It could apply to about anything. People get that way with money. I like that joke they used to say about the ranchers in the Old West. You know, they say, well, I'm not greedy. I don't want all the land. I just want the land that's next to mine. Of course, that never ends. You know? With that kind of thinking, you know, you're never satisfied, because every much land you get, there's still land next to yours. Okay? All right. Witchcraft. Now, this is interesting. The Greek word is pharmakeia. Pharmakeia. It's where we get the name pharmacy. Pharmacy. And it means the casting of spells, the use of charms, appeals to occult powers, seances, and the use of hallucinogenic drugs. Yeah. The word sorcery, by the way, every time you see sorcery in the New Testament, is nearly always that same word. Sorcery and witchcraft, normally in the New Testament, are the same word, pharmakeia. Pharmakeia. They would use... drugs. A modern-day example that would be used especially would be like the Indians in this country, the American Indians. They would use peyote to hallucinate and to get into the spirit realm, and so they could meet their spirit brother, the wolf, or something, you know. Okay? Well, and you know, our culture today, these devils... today are active, and again, I'm not going to talk much about this, but in fact, I'm not going to talk any about it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Delivered me. Hatred. That means just what it sounds like, hostility or enmity. Variance. Variance means quarreling or strife. Let me talk about that for just a minute. Quarreling and strife. You can disagree. Gerald and I don't agree on everything. There's things that we could sit down right now, and he has... in all honesty, with our best efforts, we just don't agree. But we're still friends. I'm not trying to force him to believe me and, you know, do it my way. And he's not trying to force me to believe him. Do it his way. We both trust the Holy Ghost to talk to the other one. And eventually he'll find out he's wrong. No, I'm teasing. What I'm saying is you can have a disagreement and be an honest disagreement between people, but you don't have to get into strife over it.
Hallelujah.
You know? We still respect each other's opinions. Say, man, I just don't see it that way. I'll pray, you pray, the Lord straighten us both out maybe or something, you know? But you don't have to be in strife over stuff like that. You can disagree with somebody and not be in a bunch of strife. Strife lets in the devil. He loves strife. It's a door for the devil. Hallelujah. Okay, stay away from it. It's not good. Emulations. Emulations, you know, when you want to emulate somebody else, that's the way we use the word, but in the context there, it really means jealousy, envy. It leads to, eventually, covetousness. Okay? I want what they have, and I'm going to get it no matter what it takes. Okay? But emulations is just simply jealousy and envy. Wrath. Hot. Fierce. Anger. And the Greek paints a picture with hard breathing. With, you know, I mean, you're not just angry. You're spitting angry. You know what I'm saying? This is one that I'm better than I used to be. Glory to God. Okay? I'm better than I used to be. But I mean that kind of anger, not like, you know, I mean, I, you know, hot with hard breathing. You know, that kind of anger. It's a work of the flesh. If you walk in it habitually, if you're walking in that habitually, you're going to have a hard time walking in your inheritance. It'll cut you off from the blessings of God. Can't do it. Now, everyone tell me, if you wind up doing it tomorrow, what do you do real quick?
Repent.
Oh, you've been coming. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Get it under the blood. All right. Strife. Strife denotes ambition, self-seeking, rivalry, and being self-willed. How do I put this? The reason there's so much strife in most companies, like American, you know, just American type companies, lots of strife. If any of y'all ever, you know, like work for any bigger companies, well, the reason for that, everybody practically in there are not really team players. Everybody's wanting to get the promotion, so everybody's kind of in competition with the other guy, and so you've got every single part of that whole company full of this very thing: ambition, self-seeking, rivalry, and being self-willed. Now, the problem is that same spirit comes over into the church if you're not careful. A lot of churches, people will do things. They'll try and get in good with the pastor because they want to become a deacon. They want to become an elder. And so they'll start doing things on purpose, trying to get noticed, you know. All right? Now, it's one thing to come in with a servant's heart and do whatever that they ask you to do and then let God promote you. It's another thing to come in there with an agenda. Okay, thank you, Lord. I got a good example of that. The first job I ever had, it was with Union Carbide after I got out of school. And there was five of us engineers hired on the same day. We all come in at the same level. We all had the same authority. One guy in that group in particular, and I'm going to call his name Fred. It wasn't. I'm going to call his name Fred. This was an ambitious climber. You know what I mean by that? He had an agenda. Bless God, he wasn't going to sit around with the rest of us peon engineers. He was going to get promoted and get promoted fast. So what he did, he looked throughout that whole plant down there to see which one was like the prima donna, what part of the plant did management really esteem as their jewel. And it happened to be the polyethylene department. It was the most money-making department at that whole chemical plant. So he started taking those old boys to lunch the ones involved over there. He started getting in good with them. You could watch it. He just planned it out how he was going to be an engineer in the polyethylene department because he saw that to be in the pathway, the fastest pathway to the top. And that's what he wasn't interested about Union Carbide. He was interested in Fred. Okay? We watched this. It only took him about 6 months to get that done. And he wasn't there 30 days and they closed the polyethylene department down. And he lost his job. I don't know what happened to him after that. Now, that's the kind of thing that happens, though. See, when you follow in your own self-will, instead of just being a servant and letting the Lord exalt you, whether it be in the workplace, whether it be in the church or in the ministry. Okay? Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord. All right. Strife. Seditions. Seditions is close to the same thing, but it's a little different. It means a standing apart, a dissension, a division. And it especially means those who cause divisions. Huh? Don't know what that means? In Proverbs it says there are seven things the Lord hates, and one of them is a person that sows strife between brothers. And that's what this is talking about. Especially like in a church, somebody comes in. Let's say, for example, okay, I'm a tongue talker, okay? Y'all know that I am. And let's say there's a church over here that... I think I can go in there and split them up and take off about half of their people, start my own church. You know? And so I go in there with that agenda in mind, and I start going around to this one and that one and this one and that one, and I say, you know, really, this preacher, the pastor here is in error. Let me just show you this and show you this. And I'm going in there purposely with the idea of division. I'm going to split that church. I'm going to separate them. I'm not going in there with the idea of trying to be a servant and praying and doing whatever I can to get the truth there. For all the people. No, I've got my own agenda on my mind, and I'm going to create division. Okay? That's what it's talking about. Or somebody who is, let's say you had a real close, okay, we got sisters here. Okay? And y'all are close. Okay? Let's say somebody's jealous of that. Well, reasonable. Okay. Well, let's pretend you are. Okay? Let's pretend you are.
Yeah, well,
and let's say you've got a friend, okay, that gets jealous of her, even though she's your sister. So this friend on purpose starts thinking up schemes to sow division among you. Did you know what Tina said about you? You know, see, that's the kind of thing it's talking about here. Someone who's purposely coming in to cause divisions. Okay? That's right. Heresies. Heresy is a self-willed... Now, the Lord gave... This one, I am... He told me I have to talk about this one. Heresies. This is the best definition I've ever heard. A self-willed opinion which is substituted for submission to the truth. Now get that. Self-willed opinion. You choose your own will to have this opinion rather than submit to the truth. One day Sue and I were down at... When you guys were in the other building at the hair salon in Crystal City, and I won't mention names because you never know where these tapes are going, but this lady come in who is a sorceress. She what's the word she uses for herself?
She's a witch.
Well, is that what she calls herself, though? She's a witch. Okay.
She says, I'm a good witch.
And a good witch, and she's a medium. A good witch and a medium.
With a gift from God.
Well, that's what she said. Now, see, the whole point is, how many of y'all know you can turn right to Deuteronomy and find out that mediums and witchcraft and seances,
spiritualism,
God plainly denounces all of that and says it's all abomination to Him and to stay away from it. It's plainly... And we're not supposed to. But anyone who wants to find the truth, all they got to do is go to Deuteronomy and find out and read it. There's the truth. God says it's an abomination. It's a work of devils. Stay away from it. Okay? We mentioned that to this lady. And she says, I don't believe that. I do not agree with that. She has chosen. She says, no, it's a gift from God. And I said, no, in Deuteronomy it says it's not. It said it's not a gift. He says it's an abomination what you're doing. I don't agree with that. She self-willed, chose on her own to have an opinion of her own like that, rather than submit to the truth. Okay? Now that one's the most clear-cut example I can think of. Another one would be homosexuals who say, I'm sorry, God made me this way. I was born this way. That is a lie from hell. If that's the truth, then they have a right to condemn God. Because God calls it an abomination, and no one will go to heaven that does it. We just looked at it there a while ago. Okay? That's not the truth. They are self-willed, chosen to believe that lie rather than submit to the truth. Why? They don't want to change. They don't want to change. They do not want to submit to the truth. Okay? Heresy. Got it? Heresy. People throw that word around too loosely, though. Somebody will just be learning about tongues or something. And maybe their understanding is not really fully developed yet. And they'll say something that's just not quite right. Somebody will go, why, you heretic? No, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about when the will of God is plainly known. This is an obvious thing, just like that woman there. And she knows what it says. She knows what it says. Then say, I do not agree with that. In other words, I'll be my own God. Thank you very much. Really what? Now that's heresy. I know what God said. I don't agree with it. I'll be my own God. That's heresy. Yeah, if I was really teaching the whole night on that, Paul says, from such, turn away. Don't associate with them at all. Get away from them. Don't try and win them to Jesus. Get away from them. Okay? He says, do not associate with them. All right. Now, if he sends one to, if by accident you cross their path, you could witness. But I'm saying don't run with people like that. Do not run with people like that. Okay. Revelings. And I'm going to read this and let you guys draw the line. I don't know where the line is. It's a letting loose, often the consequence of drunkenness. That's all I'm going to say. I don't know, you know. God's not against having a good time. He set up all these festivals and everything in the Old Testament where the people would... Oh, sure, you know.
Could your mouth be a part of that?
Well, it's not really what it's talking about. It's talking about the actual physical partying type thing. But Vines put it in there. He says, to kind of give us an idea, I think, of what he's talking about, like often the consequence of drunkenness. You know, when the inhibitions start coming down, and the lampshade starts going on the head.
Your own self-pity.
Huh?
Same thing as reveling in your own self.
Well, again, that's not a... I could see where you could say that, but really what he's talking about here, he's talking about parties. He's talking about actual wild parties. The kind I think of is from the Old Testament, when Moses was up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments from God, and the people down below, they built a golden calf, and says they were eating and drinking and worshiping this calf that wasn't God. And to me, that's, you know, reveling. Just, you know. And if you really get the connotations, it was very sexual. It says they were sitting down to eat and rising up to play. And later on in the New Testament, and I don't have time to get into all that, but when Paul was teaching on it, the context he was teaching in was about somebody that committed fornication. So, sexual content to it a lot, I think. But again, I think. Notice the I think part. Do not write me any letters. Hallelujah. Okay, now that the tape is turned over, we're going to go to Ephesians. Boy, for the benefit of the tape, we took about a 5-minute recess there, and I got swarmed with questions. And I said, all I'm giving you is the definitions. You look them up yourself. I'm not preaching. I'm just giving information. I looked up the definitions. This is what they are. You go check them out in your own dictionary. What can I say? Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 7. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 7. Paul speaking again. He says, but fornication and all uncleanness. Now, most of these words we've already talked about. There's just two in here that we didn't. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger. I forgot to put that word down. I'm sorry. It doesn't mean what you think. Whoremonger, I thought, was a person that went out and hired whores. You know? That's what I thought it was. But what it really is, it's a temple prostitute in Corinth, or, you know, in Ephesus. And the pagan religions, it was kind of, you know, their religions without God always had fertility in mind. They worshiped God so that their crops would grow good and they'd catch lots of fish and all that kind of stuff, you know. And so they thought somehow that building an altar and having sex on it, somehow the gods liked that and it would be a sign of fertility, see. So they had, and by the way, they had female temple prostitutes and they had male temple prostitutes. Okay? And that is really the word that Paul is talking about here, because that was current in that time. I don't know of any churches where that's going on right now. If you ever go into a church, I'd leave that church real quick, okay? All right? Okay, I'd get away from that one.
Or is that jesting?
Well, I don't think that's foolish jesting. I mean, really, get out. Okay. We were talking about, okay, for this you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance, there's that word again, in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Here we go again. Read this part with me. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Now you stop there, because you hear a lot of people say it's okay. No, it's not okay. You have cut yourself off from your inheritance. Now we're not going to be getting into crazy things like earrings and makeup and all that kind of junk. But Paul, the same apostle who gave us the revelation of grace, says if you do these things habitually, you're cut off from the inheritance of God. Don't take it serious. Take it serious. Okay? Let no man deceive you with vain words. You're just saying, oh, it's all right. Grace covers everything. This is the guy who gave us the revelation on grace. No, it doesn't. It won't cover these things. You can't do these things and expect the blessings of God to come on you. Especially after tonight, because now you know. That's a problem with knowledge. You have to become accountable to it. Hallelujah. For because of these things, now get this, these things that he just mentioned there, because of these things cometh the wrath of God. Do you understand what he's saying? We're not even talking about just the devil now. Opening the door to the devil. These things right here make you subject to the wrath of God. It's pretty bad. Don't want to get involved in any of this. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Now there's no reason to say that unless it's possible you could become a partaker with the children of disobedience. Well, how? Letting them use vain words and talking into doing this stuff and thinking it's all right. It's not all right. You can't do this stuff. Can't do it. Okay. We talked about most of these. Whoremonger, like I said, is a temple prostitute. I don't think we have a whole lot of that going on today. Unclean person. We talked about unclean. Covetous. We talked about that. Idolater. But this one does have two words in it, which affect me, and I'm going to have to tighten myself up. One of them is foolish talking. And as much as I'd like to think it means something else, it means silly talk, buffoonery. You big buffoon, you know? And to be honest with you, I've always liked silly talk. Okay? You know what I mean? I like it. Clowning around and silly talk, buffoonery. That's what Strong's definition says. Vine says dull, stupid talk, foolish talk. Okay?
What does buffoonery mean?
You know what a buffoon is? Like a fool? I guess, y'all correct me if I'm wrong. At Ringling and Brothers Circus, the clowns, they're kind of buffoons, aren't they? I mean, isn't that kind of your idea of a buffoon? No?
I've never heard the word.
Well, anyway. Well, I didn't look that one up in the dictionary. But silly talk. Okay, let's not talk about the part we don't understand. Let's talk about the part we do. How about silly talk? Anyone have a problem understanding silly talk? Now, I want to give it, okay, I'm going to give an example like this, because I'll tell you what, I don't think the Lord is against humor. Kenneth Hagin uses humor. Kenneth Copeland uses humor. He's not talking about that. Jesse Duplantis, dear God, hallelujah. You know, he's got a whole ministry of humor. He's not talking about silly, dull, stupid talk. To me, is when you're talking against what the Word of God says more than anything else. You go around saying, you know, God says you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's the truth. And you go around saying, I just can't live this life. You know, I can't hear God. Come in and tell me you can't hear God, I ought to slap your face.
Amen.
Jesus said you can. He says, my sheep know my voice. They hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. Every time you come in here and say, I can't hear God, you're lying. That's silly, stupid talk. Quit talking like that. Another way that it could be used is people just running themselves down all the time for no good reason. You know? I think that's a kind of a form of false humility. False humility, you know? I don't know. Hey, I'm just telling you the definitions. If you need more, I mean, you get to take these sheets. Everyone, you know, you do know you get to take these sheets home with you. Okay? Look these words up. If you want further definitions or check it out further, really. Take it home, look it up. Okay? I only got through with this about just a short time before we got started here. Jesting is different from foolish talking. Now, that's facetious talk. Do you all know what facetious is? Pat, I bet you can give me a definition of or an example of facetious talk. What would facetious talk be?
It would be like when you're making a comment, but it's really with a sarcastic undertone.
Yeah, you say one thing, but you really mean another thing. That's facetious, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It also means quick-witted and ready for a spirited retort. Quick-witted and ready for a spirited retort. Have you ever met people? I mean, you say something to them, and I mean, you can never get ahead of that person. I mean, they're quick, and no matter what you say, they're going to get the best of you. You know what I'm saying? They're going to have a snappy retort that's going to, you know, and then you say something else, and wham, they get you. You know what I'm talking? That's that spirit that he's talking about there. All right? Another one is right. What it had in both Vines and Strong's, it said ribaldry, R-I-B-A-L-D-R-Y. And I looked that up, and it means dirty jokes. Telling dirty jokes.
They use it a lot when they talk about the Mardi Gras.
Mardi Gras, okay, ribald, yeah, being ribald. You know, very sensual.
Yeah.
You know, people have hardly any clothes on and stuff. But it's, here in this context especially, he's talking about telling dirty jokes. That kind of joking. Don't be telling them. Tell jokes like this. This might be, I don't know, I'll probably get a letter about this. Tell jokes like this. I was told this, do y'all know it? Now, if you know the answer, don't shout it out. What do you have when you've got 50 pigs and 50 deer in the same pen? You've got $50,000. But it's not, it, you know, there's nothing dirty about it. There's no innuendo in it. You know, it's just humorous.
So
it's just humorous.
The bar is out.
Huh? For what? Now, wait a minute. We need that on tape. What?
So the three nuns in a bar is out.
I think, yeah, three nuns in a bar. I don't think that's really what, you know, God smiles on that too much. You know? Hallelujah. I'll tell you another reason why he wants to. God's not against humor. Most of us kill ourselves with our own mouths. The proverb says life and death is in the power of the tongue. And we don't watch what we say. We just, you know, oh, we're just joking. We're just kidding, you know. And the devil, he adds them all up, every one of them. Every time, you know, we say something that licenses him to move into our life, we were joking, he wasn't. I mean, I think the Lord is just real serious about what we say a lot more than we understand. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 through 17. Now, here's what I was talking about. See, the Bible does talk about holiness. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness. The problem is, we haven't known what it is. See? But follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Y'all want to see the Lord? I want to see the Lord. Whatever holiness is, I need it. So do you, if you want to see the Lord. Okay? Looking diligently. Now, that means diligently means this may take some effort on your part. In fact, it will take some effort on your part. Looking diligently, lest any man fail, and that means fall short of, the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, there's that word inherit, see? When he would have, he wanted to inherit it later, he was rejected. This is one of the scariest verses in the Bible. He was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. I don't know where the line is, you guys. Don't be getting into bitterness and hold grudges. Don't do it. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I mean, get it settled before the sun sets. We don't want to get into bitterness to the point we wind up like Esau and can't find no place to repent. Okay? What is bitterness? Bitterness is intense hatred. Okay? And that's it where it says that many might be defiled. That means contaminated. Your intense hatred, it's like an infectious disease. Hatred is like, all you got to do is look at Germany in World War II. The hatred originally for the Jews was in Hitler. But by the time it was over, the hatred for the Jews was throughout the whole nation. And they were killing them by the millions. See? Hatred, bitterness, is infectious. And it defiles many. See, again, the reason this is really, really bad on God's list, it hurts people. You say, well, now I'm just bitter. It's just me. No, it's contagious. Whoever you're around, you're going to affect them with that. It hurts people. Stop it. God don't allow it in heaven. You need to get rid of it. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Profane. We don't not want to be up. Now, I didn't know this till today. The whole reason for staying away from bitterness is so that you do not wind up becoming a profane person. Let there be no... See what Paul said? Lest, if you don't stay away from bitterness, you could wind up being a fornicator or a profane person like Esau. Now, here's what profane means. Lacking all relationship or fellowship with God. It's the epitome of unholy. It's the opposite of holy. And the Greek paints pictures, the words paint pictures. What it means, a profane person. Who's got a Bible? Anybody bring a Bible to Bible study? It would be like to take the holy things of God, and lay them out there in the street for the people to walk over and trample and run their cars over. No respect for God at all. The literal Greek word means to allow to be trampled. To allow to be trampled. And that's really what Esau did. He was the firstborn. He had the rights of the firstborn to the inheritance. And he sold it for one piece of bread. One morsel of bread he sold it. Didn't mean anything to him. No respect for God. No respect for the covenant. None at all. Don't be like that. Okay? Alrighty then. Hallelujah. Shouting. They're not normally like this. Come back. I'm telling you. Now, notice how all of these things originate from within us. We're getting back around to the original thing. See, Jesus said you must cleanse the inside of the cup if you ever expect the outside of the cup to be clean. All of these things we've talked about originate deep within the human heart. They originate deep within that old nature that we all have to fight against. All right? These are the very stones and the thorns that Jesus talked about in Mark chapter 4. That choke the word, that keep the word from being able to penetrate and really bring forth that 30, 60, and 100-fold good fruit. It's impossible for man. Do y'all understand? It's impossible for human beings to change your own nature. You cannot change these things by your own efforts. Say this with me. Y'all not say, I cannot change these things by my own effort. If I could have, I would not have needed a Savior. Okay, now look. Thank God for the new birth and the work of the Holy Spirit. Now here's the answer to all these things. If there was anything in there that you saw still in yourself, here's the answer. Romans 8:13. For if you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Praying in other tongues is the most effective weapon we have to put to death all of these things within us. Praying in other tongues. It's the most effective weapon that we have. Glory to God. Use it a lot. That's when he goes in there and he starts looking around and he starts finding thorns and he starts finding things that cause bitterness, that cause wrath, that cause anger. And he starts exposing it and then putting it to death. So now you're not always trying to keep your temper. You just don't have that temper anymore. Wouldn't that be good news? You know, it's not hard to act nice when that's what's in you. You know what I'm saying? You know? Effort is good. I'm not against, you know. I mean, but it's not permanent. All permanent change comes by the Holy Ghost. When He goes in and He destroys these things at the roots. Then it's no longer, I got to hold my temper, I got to hold my temper. You're just not like that anymore. Isn't that wonderful? See, I tell people all the time, I drink all the liquor that I want to. I do. I just don't want to anymore. I really don't. God just took that away from me back in 1980. That's when I had my last drink. I just don't want it anymore. Just don't, you know, it's not hard for me not to drink. I don't want it anymore. There's some other things. I'm still working on me and the Holy Ghost, okay? Other things I want real bad. But okay, what's the key? Quit. Get discouraged, give up on the blood. I'll tell you what the Lord told me. I say this pretty often. Because I get disgusted, Sandra, I get disgusted with myself, you know. And I get like, man, I'm just never going to make it. And the Lord told me, He says, son, as long as you don't give up on the blood, I won't give up on you. Hallelujah for that. He also told me another thing one time that you'll like this because it applied to you too. I was really frustrated with myself. Betty, I was down on myself that day. You know what I mean? You know, just one of them days. And the Lord said, cheer up. I've trained harder cases than you. I like that. Oh, good. That gives me hope. I've trained harder cases than you. You're okay. Don't give up on the blood. I won't give up on you. Now, normally at this point I ask for questions. You must be kidding. No, and I'm not going to answer any. We've got dictionaries. We've got, you know, you go research it for yourself. No, not one each, not one from anybody. Now, do not take this. If I was you, I would not take this to that wicked, quote, in your eyes person that you've been trying to tell to straighten up. And don't you be taking this over there and go, wham, I told you so. Now look at here. You're going to burn, you're going to burn, you're going to burn, you know.
Burn,
huh? Don't you be doing that. I told God, I says, I was not even willing to preach this and let you let me do it in love. For they can tell it's in love. Okay? There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus who walk not according to the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Glory to God. And as long as you are working towards God, I don't care which of these problems. Maybe you got all of them. I don't know. God, you'd be a mess. You know. But which of these problems you're presently involved with, God will walk through hell with you as long as you're trying to walk out and calling on the name of Jesus and not giving up on the blood. I mean, He'll stay with you and walk you out of that thing, okay? So don't you be going over and telling somebody, God's grace is over for you, buddy. Don't slap them with this stuff. It's better not. Unless you want that same kind of treatment yourself from God. I don't want that. Okay? Pray much in the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now, one other positive thing you can use this for. The next time the preacher comes and says, Andy, if you don't quit wearing them neckties, I'm telling you, they point to hell, son. That's right where you're going to go. You can flip out your list, say, neckties, neckties, no neckties. Nope, sorry, that's false doctrine. Okay, heretic. I'm supposed to stay away from you. You know? And the next time that... And then, or yeah, or you don't have to do it. Or the next time, you know, that y'all, why you would visit somewhere besides the Dave Roberson Ministries, I don't know. I'm just teasing. But if you're at some church somewhere
amen,
and they start,
amen,
they start talking about, well, that makeup and you Jezebel hussy, you know, and their jowls always shake, you know, all of that stuff. You know, them earrings are taking you, I mean, you're going to bust hell wide open, you know. You get your list out, earrings. No earrings. Nope. False doctrine. Okay. Nope. Sorry. You don't have a clue, bud. I don't care how many degrees you got on your wall. You don't have a clue. That's it. Paul said, I'll go with Paul. Okay. No. Okay. So that's the positive ways to use this. No, I'm not going to ask for any questions. That's it. We got cinnamon rolls. We got coffee. Help yourselves. We're so glad you came. And come back. There, I swear, this is the first one in 2 years has been like this, isn't it, Tammy? You tell her. Tell.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Okay. Well, it was a completely different.
Man.